Dear Reverend Fathers, Venerable Sisters, dear Catholic friends, I do express my gratitude for being invited to give this keynote lecture, and I'm even touched for being invited, especially since I have again met so many experienced and well-educated and prudent Catholic priests here. The more I'm surprised that a German with a strange German accent and with his weak English has been asked to give this lecture. I will try to do the best what I can. The topic of this Fatima conference is, as we can read and do know, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to my word." And in order to lead to this topic, I want to start with a question was always discussed in the church through the centuries. Why has God waited so long before he came with his apparition in Jesus Christ? Why has it happened? There were so many generations before Christ came, they had to miss lots of graces and treasures. They had, for instance, I do mention only a few points. We do eventually, I speak about me, not sufficiently appreciate, first of all, our baptism. How often are we thinking about this great grace? Then the holy sacraments. Think on the so-called saints of the Old Testament, as we call them, the just people. They were waiting for the Savior. They had to miss all this. Those people have missed most of all Jesus Christ, our Savior. Last but not least, they have missed our Blessed Mother, the Holy Virgin Mary and Mother of God. These are our treasures. And it should happen that we force ourselves to appreciate this more and more, how rich we are, how many graces we have received. The general response on the question, why has God waited so long? First of all, I do also not possess the right telephone, the hotline, I cannot ask. That's a mystery, of course. But we human beings, we try to investigate, to find an answer. We can say, okay, it seems to be logical and by some way acceptable. We say the human race was not ready for this. Not yet. Certain processes in the history had to be completed first. So we come to a level, spiritual, mental level, that we become able to comprehend and to understand what God does want when he becomes man and speaks to us in Jesus Christ as a human being, speaking to human beings in the language of human beings, generally spoken. And obviously, the awareness of several things had to grow first in the human race, especially among the Jews in the Old Testament. The awareness of their own sinfulness, the awareness of their own moral weakness. It had to grow. The people they had, obviously, I say as a human being, as I said, I could not ask God directly. But the more aware you become of this all, the deeper your understanding is, and the more you do appreciate what God's plan is with us. Possibly, obviously, who of us would risk to contradict that first of all had to be broken the human pride? I, we know this is a synonym for human beings. And see the Tower of Babel, you understand. The idea was, we are like God, and we want to have an artificial structure is representing this. And we know the result of that process. Possibly, we should learn more to win the knowledge and the understanding that we do need help. We do depend on God's grace and God's approaching. It's His first step. We can only thankfully accept and respond on the same wave God is sending His will to us. It means heart, faith, love, and hope. And so in the human race has obviously had to grow the desire. O Savior, come. We do need you. We do depend on you. And without you, it is gone with us. We have no chance to be saved. You are our Savior. And you do also know the famous Advent song, "Drop your dew, ye clouds of heaven." And here is expressed very emotionally, very touching, the entire desire of the just and holy people, the so-called saints of the Old Testament. Drop your dew, ye clouds of heaven, rain the just one now to save. With that cry, the night was riven from the world, a yearning grave. On the earth by God forsaken, sin and death their toll had taken. Tightly shut was heaven's gate. For salvation all must wait. This is a very emotional text. Is known in English as well as in German. And we do usually sing it in the Advent season too. And the quintessence expressed in this song is the desire. We are not yet prepared. God had a plan with us. And now, I want now to come to a thesis, to a consideration. I would like to invite you to follow my explanation And hopefully you will come then at the end at the same result. The thesis is, the consideration is, that God was also in some, so to say, dependent on a human mediator. It means when God, Jesus Christ, is the true mediator, he is the Savior, he has suffered on the cross. But for his incarnation, there must be at least one person is qualified enough in different regards, so that person could mediate that God become born here on earth. That was obviously God's decision. And this mediator had to be a sort of link between heaven, God, and earth, us people. And here I would like to invite you to follow me. I want to come to the explanation of the book Genesis. We usually compare Mary with Eve, as we compare Jesus with Adam. Jesus is called by St. Pope the Apostle the second Adam, because he has repaired what the first Adam has created on damage for all of us. So Mary is the second Eve. But we do usually say the humility of Mary and her obedience. But when we hear to the true experts of the Holy Scripture, we can discover sometimes more interesting details are reported in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. And first we read about the creation of paradise. And the Lord God had planted a paradise of pleasure from the beginning, wherein he placed man whom he had formed. And the Lord God brought forth of the ground all manner of trees, fair to behold, and pleasant to eat of. The tree of life, also in the midst of paradise, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then is reported in the same chapter of the book of Genesis, and the Lord took man, Lord God took man, and put him into the paradise of pleasure to dress it and to keep it. And he commanded him, of every tree of paradise thou shalt eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in what day soever thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt die to death. These are the words are reported us in the Old Testament. We do all know these words. And now I will try to discover one detail is very important and show us who the first Eve was, what was her mentality, and what she was willing to do. And he, yes, we know this. And then we continue to read about Eve. The serpent is representing the Satan, the devil, was more subtle than any of the beasts of the earth which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Eve, why hath God commanded you that you should not eat of every tree of paradise. Please pay attention. Satan has correctly quoted the report of the Bible. You should not eat of every tree of paradise. You should not eat from this one tree, the tree of knowledge. And now we hear how Eve has reacted on that. And the serpent, And the woman answered him, saying, so the serpent told, you shall not eat. Why? But Eve responded him, saying, of the fruit of the trees that are in paradise we do eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of paradise, God hath commanded us that we should not eat, and that we should not touch it, lest perhaps we die. If we are attentive, we understand it was an arbitrary addition of Eve. It was not reported, don't touch it, the tree, in the Old Testament. Eve has created this, don't touch. And finally, when we think about this, it means she has authorized herself to introduce something what God has not told. It was pride. Because authority made. It was a sort of arrogance. Imagine this, she, Eve, has decided to correct God in certain way, because God told to the Adam that you should not eat. And she said, God said us, do not eat, but do not touch. And this means she has authorized herself on the place of God. We do usually read this text and we do not recognize this detail, but this is an important detail to understand what was the mentality of the first woman, Eve, the wife of Adam. And then and the serpent said to the woman, no, you should not die to death. For God doth know that in what day soever you shall eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It means Eve has made the mistake to follow the logic of the serpent. She has followed his argumentation. A very wise and holy person would say, I don't give my small finger. Then if I start to follow his logic, it's gone with me. Because he is much more clever. And Eve has continued the discussion, and this was one important fault of her. And then you will be as gods then, when you eat from this one tree, the fruits, knowing good and evil. It means you will get divine authority to decide what the moral principles are. Not God in heaven. You, human beings will be as God, because you will get then the quality to decide what is good and what is bad. Can you imagine how deceitful this thought is? Wow, great, I am important, I have a name, I can be a partner of God. Dear Eve, how stupid you were. And what has happened then? And the woman saw that the tree was good to eat and fair to the eyes and delightful to behold. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave to her husband who did eat. Every sin has always a consequence. And she has not only committed alone a sin, but she has seduced her husband Adam to sin. It doesn't mean that Adam has a lower responsibility on that. Not at all. But as reported in the Holy Scripture, and this is an inspirational text, do never forget, the Holy Ghost was over the writer of these holy texts. It does mean she has seduced him. And this reminds us on our responsibility. When we commit sin, it has always a negative effect on other people, at least by a bad example. So we should be clever and learn from the fault of our first mother. And the eyes of them both were opened. And when they perceived themselves to be naked, they sewed and so and on. The eyes got opened, but completely different as they have imagined. They were thinking, we become important. The fact was, they have experienced the total opposite. They followed naively a promise of the serpent, but the result was, we are naked, feel ashamed. The complete different result of their step. What a contrast and a good lecture for all of us. And then we read farther. Then God has spoken with Adam. And the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where art you, thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in paradise, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said to him, and who hath told thee that thou was naked, but that thou hast eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And Adam said, the woman that thou gavest me to be my companion gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Not I. No. She. You gave me her. I'm not responsible. Forget. It's unjust to accuse me of being responsible. The wife. But what we see now, returning to be serious, no contrition, no sincere confession, Mea culpa, where? Not existing. Adam has been searching another responsible person for his own fault and sin. And this position, this pride, this disinterest to understand the truth, to accept it, instead of saying, "Dear God, forgive us. We are sinners. We were stupid. We were naive. We believed the serpent." This is a disgusting and repellent situation or mentality. He didn't. So my question is, we try to understand who could be the mediator for the incarnation of the begotten Son of God. Can we imagine this couple were qualified with the mentality they have presented to support, to mediate the birth of the Savior? With that mentality, no chance. They were caught on free on the deed. So there were no explanation. There was only one reaction possible: to say, "We are guilty. Forgive us." No, we not. The woman said it's the serpent. The man said it's the woman. And with that position, you have no chance that God comes in this world through such sort of people. And the Lord God said to the serpent, it comes later. Sorry. And then I try to continue in explanation of the text of the book of Genesis. And we come now to another point. It's important to be respected. We read in the second chapter, "And the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Let us make him a help like unto himself. And the Lord God, having formed out of the ground..." Excuse me for a moment. Yeah. "And the Lord God, having formed out of the ground of the beast..." We return historically, we go backwards now. That's why I was a little bit confused. No? It's written here in English, but I'm thinking German, and then I must translate. So, confusion, a small confusion. "And the Lord God, having formed out of the ground all the beasts of the earth and all the fowls of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. For whatsoever Adam called any living creature, the same is its name." I want to say that we see here that God gave Adam the creative power. You give the names and you declare the essence of this being, of the plant, of the animals, of the birds, and so on. So, don't forget, the important question is here. I introduced Eve. Adam had the power gotten from God to give names. And to give names mean in the language of the Holy Scripture much more than when we give names and say, this is a dish, this is a tree, and so on. Adam had the creative power to, in some sort, concelebrate with God by creation, by giving names. This is the nature of this plant, of this living object, and whichever name Adam gave, this was valid for God too. This is important here. And then we read also, and Adam called all the beasts by their names, and all the fowls of air, and all the cattle of the fields. So he has done, we see here, exercised this authority. And Adam said, this now is by this way. He gave the names, and this is for us today still the name of this animal and of this object. And then we read also, we read about Eve when she has given birth to Cain. We read then, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, who conceived and brought forth Cain, saying, I have gotten a man through God. It's a small detail, but it's also important. Adam got the creative power to give names, to support the act of creation in some sort, so to see. And here do we read about Eve, who conceived and brought forth Cain. And Eve said, I have gotten a man through God. She has in some regard given the name to Cain. She has usurpated a power she did not possess. This power did belong to Adam, given from God to Adam. And Eve has intervened in some regards. She was in some regards thinking, I do also possess this power. Please, I don't speak about the rights of men and women. This is not at all the topic here. It would be completely wrong when we would access from this present mentality to these holy texts. Here is a much deeper idea, insight, and the idea is Adam has this power, and Eve has given the name to Cain. This is a contradiction. And here we again see the arrogance and the pride of this Eve, our first mother. By other words, do we not recognize ourselves in this or in that way? In Eve, that we do sometimes also follow this mentality. And Eve is also a representative of all of us. This is the way we should access to this reality. And again, I try to compare again Mary and Eve. And we will see later, the Holy Virgin Mary had nothing from this mentality. And Eve has intervened. We have heard before, she has intervened. She has added own additions to God's will and to God's creation by saying, don't touch. Who has given you the right to correct God? She did in some way. And here we see that the Eve has usurpated, at least in this one case, the authority was given to Adam. Not because he was man, but because God gave him this power. Dot. No discussion about female rights and so on. This is completely wrong on this place. And then we know the truth, this big truth, especially the parents among us. They know the children do usually learn a lot of things from their parents. The parents are the tree and the children are the fruits, and we see the fruit is not falling far away down from the tree. And so in our families, we have learned from our parents this and that, to pray, to forgive, to ignore, to cooperate, to become humble, to listen to others, to be silent sometimes, and so on and so on. You do know it better because I have no biological children. But this is the truth of, this is our reality. And now we see who was one of the first sons of Adam and Eve. And this was Cain. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, who conceived and brought forth Cain, saying, I have gotten a man through God. And again she brought forth his brother Abel. And Abel was a shepherd, and Cain a husbandman. No, a Cain a husbandman? Okay. I'm a little bit confused. And it came to pass after many days that Cain offered of the fruits of the earth gifts to the Lord. Abel also offered of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offerings. We know this text. But to Cain and his offerings, he had no respect, and Cain was exceedingly angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to him, Why art thou angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou do well, shalt thou not receive. But if ill, shall not sin forthwith be present at the door. But the lust thereof shall be under thee, and thou shalt have dominion over it. What we see here, this is the spiritual heritage of Eve. She has created a sin together with Adam. Of course, he is not a free man, but her son has killed his brother. Not an enemy, not a foreigner, but his own brother. And so in some regards, I do want to say it is in some ways the heritage of Eve. Her mentality went to her son, to one of them. The other one was honest, and he has inserted his heart in his offering, and God has accepted his offer, his sacrifice. But God has criticized Cain, and he said, your will was not good enough. You were not pure in your intention to devote me your sacrifices, your offerings. That's why I must reject it. Not because I'm arbitrary, but because your will, your intention was not good. And then you cannot accept that God will accept your so-called devotion. It's more personal weakness or personal fault and not a true sacrifice to God. And the Lord said to Cain, and the Cain said to Abel his brother, let us go forth abroad. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and slew him. This is the tragedy. And my intention is to show you, hopefully I'm successful in that, Cain, what Cain has done. He has done also because he was educated. He was reasoned by the mentality of Eve. She did want intervene. Her intention, her mentality was not honoring God, but searching in some way their own interest, and that why they have committed a serious sin. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is thy brother Abel?" And he answered, I know not. Am I brother's keeper?" And again, we see stubbornness and pride. He has killed his brother. He said, "Oh, don't come with your interest to me." No understanding, no insight into the own sin and fault. And this is also one of the fruits of Adam and Eve. This is my idea to show this. Obviously inherited this mentality. And this was then a cheap excuse. Am I my brother's keeper? I killed him, but I'm also not responsible. And we know then that God has punished Adam, Cain, and said then to him, "Now therefore cursed shalt thou be upon the earth, which hath opened her mouth, and received the blood of thy brother at thy hand. When thou shalt till it, it shall not yield to tree of fruits. A fugitive and vagabond shalt thou be upon the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My iniquity is greater than that I may deserve pardon. Behold, thou dost cast me out this day from the face of the earth, and I shall be hidden from thy face, and I shall be a vagabond and a fugitive on the earth. Everyone, therefore, shall find me, shall kill me." But what we see, Cain said to the Lord, "My iniquity is greater than I, that I may deserve pardon." And again, no repentance, no contrition. "You are unjust, God, when you punish me. You are unjust. I killed my brother, but you have in some sort cursed me and told me this will have negative consequences in my life, but it's too much than I do really deserve." And we see here, this is a mentality is reported here in the Old Testament. He has again drawn up a sort of invoice. He has made a sort of calculation with God. "It's too much, your punishment. I do not deserve this." And by these words, by this excurse, I did want to show you and to prepare the way how we come to appreciate and to understand the deeper sense of the golden words of the Holy Virgin Mary, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And we see then in the Old Testament With such a mentality, God had no chance to come into this world. The pride of the human beings was a sort, serious sort of obstacle for his activity. These people with this mentality could not transmit God's will. So God could be born on earth. Jesus Christ could come in this earth. And in some regards, this principal position of Adam and Eve and then Cain has prevented God's coming in this world. And we read then on other places in the Old Testament, for instance, how Moses has criticized the Jews. I have just been 40 days on the mount up there, Sinai, and you have created your golden calf. You are disobedient and you do not follow God's will. We can read in the Old Testament these accusations of Moses. And when they arrived, the Holy Land, he did say, you will again give up the faith after I die, and you are insightful. So, and then we read also Samuel, when the Jews came and said, we want to have an own king. And then the Saul has become a king. And Samuel has also accused the Jews, saying, God, look what they do here. And God said, no, they have betrayed not you, me, through you. But nevertheless, what is important? God has not given up the human beings. God has not let it be without giving hope us. And already in the Old Testament, already in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we read how God has promised that mediator whom about I was trying to speak. And there we read in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, he has promised the Messiah, the Savior. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed among all cattle and beasts of the earth. Upon thy breast shalt thou go, and earth shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. And here is described an apocalyptical fight, the most serious battle in human history. God said to the serpent, there is a woman, or there will be a woman, and I will put enmities between you, Satan, and her seed and your seed. And this woman in this text becomes a place in the history of salvation we cannot sufficiently appreciate. But who is this woman? Adam, Eve, this mentality of the Old Testament, forget. No chance. But then we do read, or first I want to mention that here we should respect again a certain consideration, a certain moment. The Jews had in the Old Testament a high number of children. They had as many children as possible. For them, that was normal. There was no sort of birth control and so on. This had, of course, different reasons. All the many children have died as babies and survived has only sometimes a smaller part of children they were given birth by their mothers. But among other reasons for that high number of children, they had an expectation of the Messiah. And the prophets and the fathers have promised them that he will come from one tribe. And especially the women from this tribe, David's, they had the expectation, the silent expectation, possibly my child, not this son, but possibly the next one I give birth, will be the Messiah. It is promised. And this was real, this expectation in the Jewish among Jewish people. They loved children, a high number of children, and it was also connected with the expectation, possibly mine, which a honor for me when my son is the Messiah. I cannot accuse those women of being selfish. That's in some way normal. Yeah, when my son would help our people. Who of you parents is not proud of your children when they do something is great, is good? You are very proud, and my sincere congratulations. You deserve this. This is then also your merit because you have given a correct education and gave the real good instructions to your children. And here, this attitude, this spiritual attitude is important for us to be respected. We expect the Messiah. And then we come to the Holy Gospel. And then there's introduced immediately in the first chapter in the Gospel of Saint Luke that an angel, an archangel, was sent to a certain virgin in Nazareth. And he came and told to her the Holy, that you shall become the mother of the Messiah, and you shall get a son, and he will be holy by God. And Mary responded, she did want to know first. She has not expressed doubts on that. She did only know the technical details. How? I do not recognize a man. And this word is a central one in the human history. What did she say? We meet here the first case is known in the human history. Respect the expectations of the Jewish women to have many children in order to expect one of them becomes the Messiah. And here we meet a virgin who said, I do not recognize a man. This is the first case in the known case in the human history that a woman have given a promise to God to stay alone, rejecting the hope to become eventually the mother of the Messiah. And she devoted her life to God. I do not recognize a man means a vow of virginity. Because of faith reason, not because she is sick, because a nun man has expressed the interest to marry her. No, it was a religious interest or reason. She did say, I want to devote my life to God because of him living here in my heart. And this was so unusual for the Jews in that time. They could not imagine how can a woman deny and give up the hope to become the mother of the Messiah. None Jewish woman has understood her. But we see here the rich faith, the strong faith. It was so deep that she, as a 14 years young girl, has given the promise to offer the own virginity to God as our dear sisters in the monasteries do. And this is something completely new in the human history. And what I want to say, do you understand? She did not discuss, she did not open a deal with God. She did not say, wait, first this, then this. She did not say, my condition is. As if she had started a business with God. I bring additions on. I usurpate the authority you gave to my husband. I do this. And this has inherited to Cain. He is a product of her wrong position, wrong faith, wrong relationship to God. Here we hear a virgin, a young girl. In that times we know they got married much earlier than today, because although the life expectation was much shorter than today, and she has said, no, I do not want to become children because I have devoted my heart to God. The first one, this is unique. And now I try to speak for God. Finally, a woman can cooperate with me. I, God, have a long desire to send my begotten God to earth. I do feel with people. I'm merciful. I want my begotten Son become incarnated and will save the world. But Adam, Eve, all the generations, I could not find a female person could become the mother of my begotten Son on earth. Here is one. She's not dealing with me. She has not tried to mention her interest and so on. She did not appear as being wiser. She did not want to say, I'm wise, I can contradict you, and whatever. All what Eve has done wrong, the Holy Virgin Mary said, behold the handmaid of thy Lord. And I hope I could show you what is the deep background of these very special words. She has, as Jesus has repaired the fault of Adam, he has paid the price for our salvation. So Mary has, in this deeper regard, a deeper sense, healed the sin of Eve, also by devoting herself totally and by this way contradicting the evil position of Eve. And then we can also see another point: heritage, mental, spiritual heritage. Cain was a good example of a fruit of Eve's mentality. Whom has Holy Virgin produced, so to say? Jesus Christ. There is only mentioned, there are few sentences mentioned about the childhood of Jesus Christ. But he rose up in mid of Mary and Joseph. And they have prayed with him. They have instructed him on the human side. I would pay a high price for the chance to listen which sort of talks and discussions Mary and Jesus had. She is the mother. She has not only biologically given the birth to Jesus, but she has also formed him as Eve has, by a wrong way, formed Cain. And Mary has formed Jesus. How she has cooperated with God, that's not my matter. I believe and I'm sure God knows how. And possibly in eternity we will learn to know. But she is that one, the real mediator. And finally God found one person. And this is the Holy Virgin Mary. And if in the future, when you read and hear and speak these wonderful words, hopefully you will remember on this background I tried to discover for you. And at the end of this day of my lecture, do I have? No? No. No. I was thinking the lecture will be shorter, but that's my big problem. My sermons are always longer than I was planning. But enough is enough. Order must be. And this is what I try to explain, that Mary is that mediator. And in light of the faults of Eve and Adam, she is that one who had really accepted God's will. She did say, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to my words," or to thy words, yeah? And to God's words, to Gabriel's words, it means she accepted without trying to win something for herself. And then the Via Crucis is the logical consequence. She has then also not become reptant, contradicting, why my son has not deserved this. Of course, her mother's heart was feeling this, but she knew from the relationship with Jesus, speaking, praying with him. Can you imagine? Can we not imagine that Jesus has told her lots about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? I presume he did. It is not reported, but her heart did know this. And this has given her the power to stay under the cross, to devote herself then again, and to support him, dying for our sins and saving us from the sin and opening for us the gates of the heaven. And that's what for we should be thankful to her. And now at the end, the real end, Father, real end for today, I would like, if I'm permitted, to pray Hail Mary in three languages. We all together. First English, then German, and then Latin, of course. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, in us now and the hour of our death. Amen. Gegrüßet seist du, Maria, voll der Gnade, der Herr ist mit dir. Du bist gebenedeit unter den Weibern, und gebenedeit ist die Frucht deines Leibes, Jesus. Heilige Maria, Mutter Gottes, bitte für uns Sünder, jetzt und in der Stunde unseres Todes. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, mor pro nobis peccatoribus, in hora mortis nostri. Amen. God bless you, and Father will give the final word.